In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and I am so glad you could join us for today's study on the book of Exodus. We are in the middle of Exodus chapter 2. Moses has been placed in the water, and now Pharaoh's daughter has found Moses, and they have decided to keep Moses. And so let me just review verse 7 where we left off. Then his sister Miriam said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maidservant went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she, that's Jochebed, brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. So he called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." As I said last time, these first two chapters are amazing in how significant the role of women are in the life of Moses. And you can't underestimate the role that God has placed on these women. The midwives, Jochebed, Miriam, Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter's maidservants. Now, as we read through the text, we have this expression, "I drew him out of the water." This is a beautiful picture of providence intersecting in the lives of people, and in this case, in the lives of unbelievers, Pharaoh's daughter. The word "nurse him." Now, typically, it was a minimum of 2 years to a maximum of 5 years by his mother. So probably somewhere in 2 to 3 years. Now, Jochebed brought him. Did you catch that? Imagine Moses' mother kept Moses secret for 3 years, then builds this little ark, places him in the water in the Nile, assuming never to see him again. But in God's providence and mercy, Miriam and Pharaoh's daughter have this conversation, and Moses is brought to her, and she gets to have him for another 2-3 years. But now the day has come where she must once again let go of Moses and entrust Moses to God, even in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. How difficult that must have been. Yet in the end, do you see Jochebed's faith? She's saying something like this: "Let the Lord's will be done. My son lives. Better to be a son in Pharaoh's household than drowned in the Nile." And this, ladies and gentlemen, is a key insight on genuine faith. Can you imagine being this mother? What would you do in such a difficult decision? And I love the perspective of Jochebed. "Let the Lord's will be done. My son lives. Better to be a son in Pharaoh's household than drowned in the Nile." That's a difficult choice, but it was a godly choice. And it was a choice that pleased the father. Now, difficult sacrifices must be made so that another may live. She was given time to nurse, which was indeed a gift by itself. She must trust again in God's providential hand as Pharaoh's daughter adopts Moses. 1 Samuel 1:24 is the same picture of Hannah. "And when she had weaned him," this is Samuel the prophet, "she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour and skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull, brought the child to Eli." And Eli was not the best parent. Let's keep that in mind. "And she said, 'Oh, my Lord, as my soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord.' So they worshiped the Lord there." Hannah did the same thing. Amazing women, Jochebed and Hannah. Now, Moses' naming, this is a foreshadow, I do believe. As Pharaoh's daughter draws him out of the water, so God will draw Israel by the hand of Moses out of the water through the parting of the waters of the Red Sea. So how do we apply a text like this? This has happened 3,500 years ago. And here it is. How do you live and pray to God when evil men rule the day? Can you trust the Lord regardless of the outcome, regardless that you've lost control? Can you see the subtle hand of God working his plans in your difficult circumstances? Now, you may not be in the exact circumstances as Jochebed and Moses were, but we always find ourselves in circumstances where only we can depend upon God. And the question is, will you? Will you pray? Will you trust in the Lord? Will you wait on him and his providence to work his will out in your life and the life of others? So now we come to verse 11. I titled this section, Moses the Young Man. Now, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Now, he's probably around 40 years old, we believe, and I'll explain in a moment why I believe that. Then he went out to his brethren. Now, these would be the Israelites who are still enslaved by Pharaoh. And he looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way, and he looked that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, we need some more background to rightly understand Moses and why he murdered. Stephen once again shed some light on this particular incident. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. So this wasn't some, you know, fly-by-night, thoughtless action, emotional reaction. What we're discovering here that Stephen shows us through the inspiration of Spirit, that Moses did have the right motives, but this was the wrong manner and the wrong means. Hebrews 11:24 tells us, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. What a great insight that we begin to see the heart and mind and faith of Moses. I remember one individual, I think his name was Greg, when we were talking about this with the men one Saturday morning, that Moses looked left and he looked right, but he didn't look up. And that is the key, right? Before you take your action, look up. In other words, have the mind of Christ. Be aware that there's an all-knowing, all-powerful, omniscient God who's aware of your thoughts, words, deeds, motivation, and heart. So application, how do we apply a text like this to us today? Timing, motive, and manner matter with God and men. Be careful when mixing the flesh with the spirit. Be careful when taking matters into your own hands. Commandments number 6 of Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. You shall not murder. And all the best motivations doesn't change the fact at the end of the day, Moses did murder. James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And all we have to do is look at our country right now, what's been going on these last months, and we're watching injustices, and then we're watching people in their flesh respond in unjust ways. This is not how a civil society can live and deal properly with the sins of the people. And this is a stark warning to each and every one of us and to our society. Should we take matters into our own hands? Application, failing to recognize that God must win this battle. God is the one who must be the one who intervenes. And Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What a great reminder that we need, yes, to ensure that justice ultimately wins, but there's a process. And when men and women take it into their own hands, they become avengers of right and wrong without due process. that harms not just one, but all of us. But there's some more background. Let me go ahead and read the next set of verses here, 13 through 15 of Exodus chapter 2. And when he went out the second day, that's Moses, after he had killed this Egyptian, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you prince and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." And when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, there's some more background on this one, Acts 7:25. "For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, 'Men, your brethren, why do you wrong one another?' But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?' Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons." So I love the insight that Stephen gives us, because it's more than just simply coming between two brothers fighting. Moses was pleading. He was trying to reconcile. And of course, we get the insights that at least one of the two did not appreciate that at all. Moses had to know about Israel's history and the Abrahamic covenant. He knew these were his people. He knew that he was special. Who knows if he knew about Abraham's covenant and the promise that Israel would be delivered after 400 years? They had to have known the calendar. Someone was keeping track, and maybe Moses himself thought he could be the deliverer. Though that speculation, and scripture isn't clear on that, it does seem probable, though, that Moses thought in his position, he could be the one to deliver the people of Israel. However, the manner in which he did it was ungodly and unbiblical. Now, this phrase, prince and judge, Moses one day would be prince and judge to the people of Israel. However, as I said earlier, Moses did not rightly understand this role, nor have the maturity or moral character. Moses will need to be changed and made ready, but it will take another 40 years of preparation. So what's the application here? And I think this is a significant one, especially for those of you who are in leadership positions. Leading and shepherding is far more than merely knowing right from wrong. Failure, followed by self-examination of that failure, and then followed by godly change, is the key to growth, change, and being used by the Lord God. Be careful, is the truth in this passage. Be careful acting against God's word and God's will. Moses made that mistake of not being obedient to God's word, and it cost him 40 years of being in the desert. May you and I hold these verses and these examples precious and keep them in front of our mind, so that when we find ourselves in an unjust situation, we will respond justly. If you're interested in our show notes, email me at wfl@brooksidebc.org. Until then, stay faithful and steadfast in God's word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.